Why don't we pray? And we'll jump into God's word. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2 primarily. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to continue in your word, to continue to talk about, Lord, your great purposes and plan through the gospel, of how Pastor Eddie said and talked about proclaiming your excellencies, Lord. And may we do that today and always, proclaim your excellency that people might see your greatness and goodness in their lives. Even in the most difficult of times, Lord, may they see how excellent you truly are. So we thank you for this time, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your help in understanding and your help giving me the ability to communicate your word clearly. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been looking at the life of Peter. And I've been wondering how long we will be doing that, because we're trying to get to 1 Peter, and we will get there. But today, the gospel of Peter is our focus. What did Peter actually preach? You see, Jesus asked Peter those three questions from last week. You know, Peter, do you love me more than these? And then two more times he said, do you love me, and do you love me? And he was seeking to reveal who Peter was as that moment. After his failures, after being dejected and heartbroken for denying the Lord the three times that he did, Jesus wanted to take account of where Peter was at and how he was doing. And so he asked those questions, and his answer after Peter said he loved him was the same thing said in three different ways. He said, feed my lambs. He said, tend my sheep and feed my sheep. And so Jesus was calling Peter to pastor, to be a shepherd. And what a fitting time to talk about that in light of Eddie's ordination today, of what pastoral ministry means, what the purpose for it is. And you see, Peter is a man who failed many, many times. He was horribly flawed in his character, like you and me, and yet God still called him to be a pastor. He didn't call him because he was perfect or he was better than anybody else, but he was called and set apart for that purpose because God chose it to be so. And I think oftentimes pastors are expected to be perfect, and anybody who lives with them knows that they are not. We are horribly flawed, and we are imperfect. We are seeking to be what every Christian seeks to be, is holy. To live in holiness and faithfulness to the Lord. To let our life speak about who Christ is and what he's called us to do and be. And so Peter is that example of a flawed person who has been repurposed for the glory of God. Satan has used us in many different ways to diminish God's glory, and yet God decides to repurpose us, does he not? If you remember the illustration from last week about the barn wood, you've got the veneer that is fake wood, but it looks nice on the outside, which most of us resemble that, where we in our culture put veneer on things to cover it up and make it look more valuable. One of our church members texted me after last Sunday's sermon and said, my wife says I need new veneer. It was pretty clever. But the reality is we are that damaged, weathered, scarred barnwood that's been left out into the elements. It's been forgotten. It's been mistreated. And we think that it has no value, but in the hands of the right person, it gets repurposed. And every scar becomes a beautiful characteristic of that piece of wood. It adds value to it. The tooling marks and the bruising and the weathering makes it more beautiful for its imperfection in the hands of the right craftsman. That's how our lives should be. And that's how Peter's life is. And even after Peter is installed or reinstalled as an apostle, ordained to the gospel ministry to preach the gospel and build the church, he still screwed up. He still was flawed and dealt with his own personal sin and false beliefs. And yet God continued to restore him and teach him and draw him to himself. And so that's what we're going to see in Peter's gospel message. This is the first gospel message, really. I mean, you've got the gospel all throughout the Old Testament, but after Jesus's death and resurrection, he appeared to the disciples over a 40-day period, showing himself to be resurrected from the dead. The first day of the week, Resurrection Sunday, Jesus showed up in a locked room where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Thomas wasn't there. 8 days later, Jesus shows up again, unannounced, without opening a door. Shows up in their midst. Thomas is there, confirming his glorified physical body that's no longer dead. He's now alive. And then we saw last week that they're out fishing, Peter and the boys, and Jesus shows up on the shore. And then there's his last appearance before he ascends and goes to the Father to sit down at his right hand. And that's on the Mount of Olives where Jesus speaks these words in Acts 1:6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them not many days from then. It's actually 10 days from here. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, clearly angels, and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you to heaven, will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven. So the last moment Jesus is on this earth physically before his return, he tells his disciples of two major events. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out, and I'm going to come back. You and I live between those two events. We are historically in between that time period of the Holy Spirit being poured out on Pentecost and the second coming of Jesus. That is a fascinating time to live. We are in an amazing time, and we can complain about the world and COVID and all the crazy political and socioeconomic things going on. But at the end of the day, as Pastor Eddie said, God has a purpose for you. He purposed that you would be alive now, that you exist in this historical moment for a reason, and that your reason matters. And you need the Holy Spirit to make that impact that God is going to make through your life. And so what ends up happening is the disciples are waiting in expectation. Days and days, 10 days in total. And then the day of Pentecost comes. And that day is a Jewish celebration. And many Jews from all around had gathered into Jerusalem. Peter and the disciples were there gathered in prayer, waiting for what Jesus said would come. And then before they know it, the sound of rushing wind just came bellowing through the doors and windows. And suddenly there were little flames of fire over all their heads. Like, dude, you got something above your head. What's that? Oh, and they're all freaking out. And all of a sudden they start speaking the glories of God in different languages. Not some hidden secret language. These were real dialects and languages of the day that they are speaking, proclaiming so loudly that those who are gathered outside for the Jewish Festival of Weeks and Pentecost are going, what is going on over there? And they're perplexed. They're confused. And this is what I want to read out of Acts 2:12. It says, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. So then Peter stands up and he tells them what this long-awaited event in redemptive history means. He's going to preach this gospel message, and we're going to find out a lot about Peter from what he preaches about Jesus. And you can really evaluate a pastor in two major ways. And don't say for a minute you don't evaluate, judge, or critique pastors. Every pastor you have ever heard, seen, or know, you have evaluated with good reason, okay? You can evaluate a pastor by what they love most and the content of their preaching, because what they love most will reveal what they believe and how they act and who they know Jesus to be And what they preach is a foundation of their life and yours if you're one of the hearers. So we're going to look at what Peter actually preached. But why don't you turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to cover just some of this in the last 10 minutes or so. Why don't you stand with me in honor of God's word? You can see I'm wanting to move and get through this. Right? I got to make the most out of our time. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 14. This is Peter's whole sermon. And it's really fascinating. I want you to really pay attention to it. Actually, I was not correct. It is not his whole sermon. It's only what's recorded for us. He said a lot more. But Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." You can be seated. I'm going to continue on with those verses if we get to it. But the point that I want to make here is Peter preaches this whole message, and he talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, which just happened. So he has to explain it. Then he goes back to Jesus's ministry, and he kind of fast forwards through the whole thing of that he did signs and wonders, and then he goes, and then he was crucified and resurrected, all according to God's definite plan and foreknowledge. God designed it to be so and made it so. God sovereignly secured our salvation through these events. And then through the preaching of the gospel, it says that the crowd was cut to the heart. Because he says that God handed Jesus up, handed him over, and you crucified him. They were cut to the heart, and they asked this question: what shall we do to be saved? And Peter's answer is, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And 3,000 souls were baptized and added to the church that day. Now, if we look at the content of Peter's sermon, some crazy event that has never happened just happened. People are confused, and there's really two types of people here that are talked about: those who knew or thought they knew what was going on, and those who wanted to know. Those who thought they knew what was going on, and those who wanted to know. And that's the two type of unbelievers that exist in the world today. Those who think they already know. They already know everything they need to know. They've already made their decision, their judgment. They've already discredited Jesus. They don't want him. They already know what they need to know. You can't tell them anything new. And then there's a person who's confused, and they want to know. They want an explanation. And Peter stands up among the 11 to give that explanation. And Peter, being the one to preach this gospel, was what God had ordained already. When Jesus, during the ministry of Jesus, years before, gave his great profession, when Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter's the one who stood up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You are right, Simon. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Guess what day the church was built? Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Guess who stood up to preach that first gospel? Peter. Could Jesus have picked a better candidate? Of course he could have. He could have picked a better pastor for this church, but he didn't. He can do whatever he wants, right? And he picked Peter and he stuck him up there. And Peter's the one who stood up and he gave this gospel message and he gave the explanation this unbelieving crowd needed. They were Jews. They believed in the Old Testament. And so he points to the Old Testament and he said, you know the prophet Joel? What is happening right now? Joel prophesied hundreds of years ago. And you are the people who get to see it happen. And he talks about in this passage exactly what God did through the prophet Joel and what he did with the coming of the Holy Spirit. But here, Peter stands up and he addresses the crowd and he says, look, they're not drunk. Because he knew some people thought they were drunk. His argument is it's the third hour of the day, meaning it was 9 a.m. Now, in some cultures, that wouldn't convince people that they're not drunk. But according to the Jewish culture, apparently, people did not start drinking that early, which is good. Verse 16, he says, this is what the prophet Joel said. In the last days. So what time period are these Jews in the first century living in? The last days. Which is what we are in. The last days, because the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and Jesus is going to come back, and we are in the in-between. And what do we do in the in-between? We preach this gospel so all might hear and be saved. That is what we are called to do. We preach it with our words, with our life, with our living. Everything that we do should declare God's glory and excellencies, as Eddie had mentioned in that verse from 1 Peter. So here you see, in the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, not just the Jews. It's all right, there's a correction that God's going to tell me that I got something wrong. In the last days, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, not just Jewish people, Jew and Gentile, like all people, men, women, slave and free. On your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I had a dream last night. Does that mean I'm an old man? I was just curious. I had a really interesting dream, and I'm 43, so maybe dream dreams. You're an old person if you have dreams. For these people, he says, are not drunk. Wait, nope, I went backwards. Hold on. There we go. Even on the male servants and female servants in those days, I'll pour out my spirit. See, that was mind-blowing to the first century. Wait, God is including servants in his plan of salvation. Slaves can know the Lord God Almighty. All people of all creed and color can know the Lord. Absolutely. And that is what the coming of the Holy Spirit does. Brings the knowledge of Christ to the nations. And here they begin to prophesy. Now the word prophecy, we have all kinds of ideas about it if you grew up in church. It means to foretell, tell things that will happen in the future, or forthtell, declare what has already happened. It's both of those things are included in that phrase. And so they are forthtelling all the glories of what God has done in Christ. And he says, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now he's focusing on the time of Jesus' coming. We just got done with Revelation, right? That is Revelation wording right there. So we have the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now he says, God's going to show signs in the heavens above, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. So Peter's gospel message included the Holy Spirit being poured out, the message of salvation, and the coming of Jesus at the end of human history. What do you think our gospel should be? The preaching of the Holy Spirit coming, of salvation through faith in him, and the coming of Jesus at the end of human history that could be any day from now. That is the gospel message, and it's all based upon Jesus' resurrection and people calling out upon him to be saved. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't have time to finish Peter's sermon. Apparently his sermons are longer than mine. Way longer. But the reality is this little bit we've studied in this sermon reminds us of what is most important in the gospel. that these things were foretold. And one of the greatest arguments for Christianity and the book that we base our faith on, the Word of God, is fulfilled prophecy. No other book in all the world, any ancient literature or modern, has this aspect of fulfilled prophecy that the Bible has. Where not one time, but hundreds and even thousands of times, God said, this is going to happen in this way, and historically we know it happened that way. How do you explain that if God does not exist? There has to be someone outside of time who has planned all these great things and his plan of salvation through his Son, and he is the one who has ordained it and caused it to be. And that is Peter's argument in the gospel. God Almighty delivered up Jesus according to his definite plan and foreknowledge, meaning it is a fixed design. And he made sure it happened that way for you and me. And he has made sure that your salvation happens in the way of his choosing, that you would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, as he said every human being needs to do to spend eternity in heaven with him. That is what we get to share with our life. What a great privilege we all have to share the gospel and live by it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. What an amazing opportunity, Lord, to worship you through the ordination of another minister of the gospel, Eddie Madeira. And Lord, what an opportunity to look at Peter's sermon and the type of sermons and messages pastors should be preaching today, of the message that we all need to hear and the message that we all get to give to those who are confused and want an explanation for what is going on. Lord, may we give them the explanation you would give, and may they know your great purpose and plan for their life. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Why don't we stand for our last song?
I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh
And so the challenge today is believing and knowing God has a plan and purpose for you, and it's not based on your age or your physical abilities. It's based upon your life and your calling to know him and make him known. It's an amazing thing we get to do in this life. It's an amazing privilege to be saved, to know him, and to give other people the opportunity to know him in that way. And so we are to love him most and love him best. Amen? Amen. So use this week wisely. Let God glorify himself through your life. And now, it might be too early for the Jews of the first century to be drinking, but it's not too early to have cupcakes in honor of Pastor Eddie. So we have some outside, so make sure you get one. But with that said, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you all. Thank you for coming.